We are talking about the Empath Survival Guide with Dr. Judith Orloff, and we're going to take your calls with her when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Dr. Judith Orloff with us and your phone calls as well. Judith, this is amazing. If you lined up 100 people, how many of them would be empaths? What do you think?
Well, supposedly the percentage is 20%, but I am convinced that the percentage is much higher in the last 6 months because people's sensitivities are being beaten down by a toxic drip of negativity. And this is just affecting so many more people who used to have their guard up more and now are becoming more like empaths because they just can't take the added stress and toxicity of the world now.
So by being an empath, are you saying that you can handle stress more easily?
No, by not being an empath, I think you can handle it more easily.
Right, you just let it brush right off you, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. But with an empath, they take on everything. It's just imagine a sponge. So they would sponge it up. If they were listening to the news and, you know, there were, you know, something horrible happened in the news or some violence, the empaths would pick it up, and especially if they listen to the news before they go to sleep, you know, because then all of those images come into your dream time. And, you know, it creates unrest and it creates a lot of negativity that you deal with in dreams. So you don't get a good night's sleep, which isn't good for an empath. Empaths need a lot of sleep and they need good quality dreaming.
Well, now here's something interesting. So let's just use that number of 20%. If 20% of the people are empaths, how many would you say are narcissists?
I don't know that percentage. I'm not sure about the percentage, but they're ever growing and they're all over the place.
Okay, so if you add in the empaths and the narcissists and get a percent, what are the other people? What are they called?
They're in the middle of the spectrum.
Empaths are... That's all they are. You're just in the middle.
Yeah, they make up the rest of it. Because
but there's no special name for those people who are not empaths or narcissists?
Oh, just wonderful, heartfelt people, you know, who don't necessarily absorb the energy or have a high index of empathy, and they're certainly not narcissists because they have empathy. So it's just a little less intense for them in the middle. And there's not a better or worse. I'm not saying empaths are better, and it's better to have all that empathy and connection, but it's wonderful. You can optimize it and use it for so much good. And so there's a spectrum of human nature. You want to stay away from the lower end of it, though. If you're looking for love, if you're looking for connection, you know, if you're looking for some kind of satisfaction in life, you don't want to go where the narcissists and the psychopaths are just because they're charming. You know, charm is really overrated.
So this is interesting for me. If you're not an empath or not a narcissist, you could be something else and be a good person.
Absolutely. Be an incredible person and, you know, be able to feel for other people but not take it on. And so you might go through various phases. Some people become more empathic at various phases of their life. Like pregnant women often become very empathic. And mothers, their intuition and their empathy, you know, can skyrocket with children because that survival instinct is activated and their empathy just goes on overdrive because of the, you know, the mysterious wonderful connections between parent and child.
Now, what are the abilities of shielding yourself from negativity? How do you fight off all this negative energy?
Yeah, well, shielding is a great technique because that makes negative energy bounce off of it and go back into the universe where you can visualize a protective shield around you. If you're going into a meeting with a lot of energy vampires, or if you're just walking around, you know, particularly in the United States with all the darker energy surrounding us, you might want to just visualize a beautiful field of white light surrounding you about 5 inches above the body and surrounding the body and very protective, letting positive energy in, but really keeping all the negativity out so you're protected in a bubble. And you can visualize this bubble and you can use it as a protector in the world, which is so important. So you're not just exposed, because sometimes empaths can feel like an exposed nerve because everything's just so intense. But if you visualize this bubble, it's very powerful. It's not just imagination. I mean, you're actually creating and building energy around you.
All right, let's go to the calls here for you. Dr. Judy Orloff is with us. Let's go to Martha in Santa Cruz, California to get things started. Hello, Martha. Go ahead.
Well, awesome to talk to you both. George, I spoke to you a couple weeks ago. I'm the lady that's 67 with the active ovaries.
Yes.
Yes,
you are.
I was an empath and have been all my life. I believe empaths are born that way. I believe it's described in the Bible as a gifting. It's also one of the fivefold gifts. I won't go into religion, but I can track everything you're saying, ma'am.
Martha, has it ever been to a point where it was bothersome for you to be an empath?
Oh, no, it can drive you nuts. And what I mean is I've always been stable. I wanted to talk tonight because I've been raised in the church, and at a very early age, I knew which people were toxic and who weren't. I had to grow up in different churches. I'm, skilled at it, but interestingly enough, my problem as an empath and with compassion, the gift of compassion, even though I was in cancer twice in the hospital or very ill, I would still be ministering to people. Mm-hmm. So what I had
That's
to do
so typical of an
off.
Empath. I mean, it's so beautiful that you're ministering to people.
Well, what's wonderful about the church I go to now, literally God had a dream about this church, and I was blood dying spiritually because I was being attacked in the church by spiritual vampires. And my whole heart knows they're lost. They don't understand. So that's why I didn't become bitter, angry. But I had to get away from it. And I prayed for a good month. And then I was sent to this church. And when my pastor now walked up to me, she said, I've been waiting for you. Your spirit is dying. I receive everything from you. And you're home finally.
All right, great. Martha, thank you for that. And that's kind of neat, a phone call from an empath, Judith. That is something.
Yeah.
Are they magical? Empathic people?
I really think so. I think there's the magic to empaths. And, they give off, love and heart energy, and they make things better for others. It's so appealing, to be around empaths and, to have all that good energy around you. And the empaths, I have a section on love and relationship and empaths in the book. And it's, interesting who you choose as partners, because two empaths together can have its positive points and, also its negative. And if you're both empaths living together, if you're both triggered at the same time and the anxious energy gets aggravated, it's just best to separate, for a short period of time until you can get your balance again. Otherwise, it's like throwing fire on a haystack, where the fear and the anxiety just really grows when there's two of you.
Can one person, though, have more empathy than another? Two empaths, but one has more?
Yes, definitely. One could be, really high on the scale, and the other could be lower. But it's all good in terms of, as long as you learn to balance it. That's the key. That's the key. But you want to develop empathy, because empathy lets you feel what's happening inside of other people. Even if you disagree with them, it lets you understand where they're coming from. And then there's a hope of bridging the gap between you.
Okay, great. Let's go to Karen in Roanoke, Virginia. Hello, Karen. Good morning to you.
Hi, George. I listen to you every night.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I really enjoy it, and I'm glad that you have Judith on tonight. I was adopted as a child, and so growing up, I didn't know anything. I thought everybody could feel other people's feelings. And I just took it all in, and there was nobody there to guide me and tell me, look, this, you've got to separate the emotion you're feeling now. Isn't your emotion. It's the teacher's emotion or the other person's emotion. Now I have children, and when they went to school, one day, one of them came home and was very upset, and she said, the teacher was yelling at the class today, and all of a sudden I got really mad, and I don't know why. I was I didn't do anything wrong, Mom. And I said, honey, and I sat her down and I had the talk with her that you've got this gift of feeling other people's feelings. And if you're not careful with it, you will take those on and it will be really bad, because that's what happened to me. I would take on other people's feelings, and if people didn't think well of me, I would know it immediately. And so I ended up closing myself off from people. And
yeah, that's really
down
typical.
My emotions.
Yeah, that's typical. But what I hear you saying, it's so beautiful that you're supporting your child in that way. You know, that you can really, as an empath, understand your empath child so you can explain it to them. And that is such a precious gift. But what you describe in terms of being alone as an empath and not knowing why you absorbed, you know, other people's emotions into your own body, it's so typical, because empathic children feel so alone and there's no support for them and there's no one to talk to. I too grew up, you know, in a childhood like that where I couldn't talk to anyone about what I was experiencing, my intuition, my empathy, and I felt like there was something wrong with me. And part of my healing path has been to realize, of course, there was nothing wrong with me. But I had to develop these gifts. And your support of your children really touched me. And it's just so beautiful how you, although you weren't supported, you can support them now. And that's really to be applauded.
Are they emotional? Do they cry a lot? Empaths?
Yes, they cry a lot. You know, they're very... you know, very emotional. And when they cry, what crying does is that it eliminates stress hormones from the body. So the crying is a natural healing mechanism of the body. And so I always encourage empaths to cry and let it out and release. The key to an empath staying centered is releasing the negative energy. However you can do it, you can do it through tears, you can do it through just verbalizing it, you can do it through meditation, you can do it through getting in water and just releasing. But crying, yes, and I really encourage my patients who are empaths to allow themselves to cry, because if you hold in your tears, then it doesn't do anything in terms of healing yourself. So you have to trust the natural healing mechanisms of the body.
Do you devote your psychiatric practice to empaths primarily?
Well, to intuitives and empaths and sensitive people and those on the spiritual path who really want to develop that as part of their emotional healing, because I consider mind, body, and spirit all as one. And so when you deal with your emotions, you know, you're also dealing with your spirit. And so I kind of use everything together when I treat patients. I wouldn't know how not to, because I use my intuitive sight to look into people for health and healing and to help them. And I've done it for so many years. You know, I've been blessed to be able to live my passion and to have this kind of work for, you know, over 20 years. So, you know, it's just, you know, a total joy to be able to offer that.
How many psychiatrists have devoted their practice, like you have, to this area?
Not very many.
Not many at all. At all. Do you get a lot of patients?
Yeah, I do.
You're giggling. How come?
Well, there's a long waiting list, and you know, lots.
Oh, there is.
Yeah, there always has been, but everything all works out. You know, people get seen who need to be seen. And it's just a beautiful thing to be able to offer that to people. But I'm only one person. I'm an empath.
Oh,
exactly. I can't see that many people.
I had a mortician said to me once, he said, people are just, there's a long waiting list to get in here. And I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, people are dying to get in.
And that's right.
In your case, once they get in, do you help them? Do you let them know what they are? What do you provide to them?
Well, it depends how many times people come in. Sometimes people come in just for one session. And
that's it?
Somewhere. Yeah. And want to have a session, an intuitive session, where I tune into them and I offer them guidance from what I see. So they'll bring to me two or three issues maybe that are most paramount in their minds. and I'll focus in on them, and I'll help them to, I'll share with them what I see, and I'll help them to make a decision about where to go. So it's both me sharing things with them intuitively and empathically, and them kind of going with it and then making the decision that feels right to them. You know, I've worked with a lot of people where they're on the edge of a breakthrough, and they're not able to make the breakthrough. So they come to me at that critical moment. And so using my psychiatric skills and my intuition, I'm able to kind of help them over that hump.
All right, let's go to Richard in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Richard, thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Hello, George.
Hey, Rich.
Hi, Richard.
You know, Judith, you're very healing, because I tell you what, I was concentrating on your voice, and I tell you what, it really healed me, because basically, I seem to want to help people with children, mothers and fathers, children, and I can't stop. I don't know. I can't stop. I'm financially drained to nothing.
So you're helping them to your own detriment, I guess, Rob.
Yes. And I don't know what an empath really is. I don't claim to be one. I don't know.
All right. Well, she's going to tell you. And before we go to the break, Judith, let's see what you can tell him.
Well, it sounds like he's an extremely giving person, but he has to learn how to give to himself as well.
Well, that's what you said. He's too giving, I guess.
He's an example of somebody who overgives, because you hear how tired and worn out he is, and he's given all his resources to giving. And you have to balance it in yourself, and you were taking in the healing energy of my voice. And that says to me that you're very open and receptive to healing and to receiving from others. So that's the path I would take. You've given so much.
Is it safe to say, Judith, that an empath has the ability to pick up energies and sensitivities of others, whether it's psychically or through this intuition they have?
Yes, that's exactly how it works.
See, I'm learning this.
You're
teaching us all. Where do people get your book, The Empath's Survival Guide?
They could get it on my website at drjudithorloff.com, or on Amazon, or anywhere books are sold.
Okay, and we've got that link for you at coasttocoastam.com as well. So we will make the turn, and we will come back in just a moment with final phone calls with Dr. Judith Orloff. And then next hour, we talk about heaven. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Dr. Judith Orloff with us, your phone calls as well. This is our final segment as we talk about her work, The Empath Survival Guide, and life strategies for sensitive people. Now, when you say they are sensitive, one could construe it one of two ways, Judith. One is that they're intuitively and psychically sensitive, which we know they are, but also emotionally sensitive. Are they that?
Oh, very much so. They can feel emotions like energy penetrating their body. Now, for instance, joy or bliss or happiness or peace can just feel like ecstasy in an empath's body. So pleasant, and it's so health-promoting. You know, whereas emotions such as fear or anger or jealousy can eat away at an empath's energy and body because they're so strong. Emotions are energy. And so how you process emotions has a lot to do with how you process energy. And so empaths, especially emotional empaths who have a special sensitivity to emotions, can sense emotions a mile away. I mean, they could sense somebody who's, you know, feeling depressed across the room. They don't have to be standing next to the person. They can be sensing all over what people are giving off energetically, or, you know, through their electromagnetic fields. As HeartMath Institute has done such great research on the information that's transmitted through the electromagnetic fields of the heart and the brain. And empaths are particularly sensitive to that information. And so they're picking up all that information, including emotions. And so you can imagine the intensity of the input that empaths are processing every day. And so it's important not to take all that in, because if you did, it just causes extreme exhaustion.
Who wins, the empath or the darker side of energy, if it's a battle between the two of them?
Well, you know, I'm fighting for the empath. I'm giving the empath tools to fight the darkness. I mean, there's darkness all over, and you can get sucked into it so easily. Non-empaths can, you know, because it's so enticing, and you just want to look into the eyes of what's going on in terms of darkness. It's like, you know, psychically, when you're driving on a freeway and you see an accident, your attention is more drawn to that accident than it is to the happy family driving next to you. And the same is true with other news events or characteristics that people carry that may be dark. There's a mesmerizing quality that you must not look into them and not give them attention, you know, or give them any kind of power. And empaths have the power not to do that. It just has to do with where you put your attention. And something dark may be lurking around, but, you know, that's what light workers do. They work in the darkness. Now, that's their job. And so you don't have to worry about the darkness if you know how to ignite your own light and also really direct your attention to the right things. That's essential in programming your thoughts and your mind and saying no to fear. Just saying, no, I'm going to go towards love today. I'm going to go show my children love. I'm not going to think about, you know, the fear of what's happening in the world at the moment.
It's easy to get sucked in, isn't it, and pulled down.
So seductive to get sucked in and pulled down. And yes, you can go in that direction. However, I also know the power of the human being and the power of empaths and goodness, where you have a choice in terms of where you put your attention. And I tell empaths that. You know, if they're able to put their attention to what they have to give and make changes in the world that are positive, and, you know, in the smallest ways, the smallest acts of goodness create so much light, so much light. And people have to know they don't have to go out and, you know, give a big speech or, you know, do something, quote, big in order to make a difference in the light-dark ratio. Because what we want to do is we want to tip the balance from darkness to light. I mean, you won't ever be able to get rid of the darkness here on Earth, because that's just the nature of this planet, is light versus dark. That's the dynamic here that we're spiritually learning from. But you can tip the balance so that there's more goodness than darkness. And that takes a lot of belief, and it takes a lot of love and a lot of empathy. The more empathy you have, the more light there will be in the world. And I am a big believer in building the light, not in sapping it or giving the dark attention. And it's the dark really is boring. You know, it's been so repetitive, you know, over history. It's so predictable and boring, you know, and it's so seductive. And, you know, of course, fear has been used to seduce, you know, the people for millennia, you know, in many places around the world. You know, you just get them afraid and they lose their power. And but it's predictable. And so what you can do with empathy, what I'm asking people to do, is to rise to a higher part of themselves. So even though they might not like somebody, or they might disagree with somebody, their politics or their beliefs about healthcare or whatever, you know, to try and go higher and tune into them and find out what's motivating them and try to have empathy with that, so at least you have a chance of bridging the gap. No, otherwise, if you polarize and just see the darkness in people or the worst in people, nothing will ever change here on Earth. You know, the only way we can change things is through empathy and love and strength, of course. It's not being naive, but it's about rising higher to a part of yourself that is empathic and that can have the power over even the most fearful things. So it's almost, it's not exactly like this, but the weak will inherit the earth. If the sensitive will inherit the earth, if they can rise into the power of what the gifts they've been given.
Let's go to Reba in Colville, Washington, now west of the Rockies. Hi, Reba. Go ahead.
Oh, hello there.
Hey.
Hi, Reba.
I talked to you. Well, greetings to your guest. And, you know, I can say yes to all of your questions. And in your questionnaire, I am psychic, clairaudio. I precognizant dream. I'm an earth sensitive. Many times I know ahead of time by months if somebody's going to pass away. And but, you know, with all of this, I also now have uncontrolled hypertension. And this has been going on for, oh, heavens, 12, 15 years. And, you know, that is a concern of mine. So I'm very interested in listening to what you have to say. But I have been positively diagnosed with cancer 3 times and had surgery 2 of those times. And those 2 times, I made the doctors wait, you know, like 4 months each time before they did the surgery. And the reason why is because I live out in the woods naturally. I have a pond on my property. And so it's true what you say about water.
Yes. Do you ever look into water and see the reflection?
Oh, and just listen. Just listen to the running water. I found that standing under a shower and just letting the water flush over the top of me.
Yes.
Flies.
Yes, that's absolutely beautiful.
And I have been, like I said, positively diagnosed with cancer 3 times. 2 of those times, like I said, I made the doctors wait to do the surgery about 4 months. When they got in there and did their surgeries, they found absolutely nothing. Now, this third time, which has been in the last 6 months, I had a large lump on my back, and the doctor positively diagnosed it as cancer and wanted me to go into an MRI. I cannot tolerate x-ray machines of any kind.
They really
upset everything in my system. And anyway, and I told him, I said, no, I said, it'll go away. And he's looking at me like I'm nuts. And anyway, 2.5 weeks later, it was gone. Now, what my question is for you is, have you heard of empaths being able to heal themselves?
Yes, indeed. When empaths can summon the healing energy, it can be really powerful. Empaths make wonderful healers. And it sounds like you're extremely tuned in and you've activated the healing capacities of your body. But I just want to say you can also do that with your hypertension. And, you know, you can.
And lower it, you mean?
Yeah, lower it. Yeah, lower the blood pressure. And just one suggestion I have for you and your hypertension is to get some body work. It feels to me like you're holding some of that tension in your muscles. And so I don't know if you, you know, in the woods, if you could find somebody who does massage. But, you know, I think that would be really good for you.
That would help.
I think so. That's from what I pick up.
Can empaths also heal other people?
Absolutely, because they sense energy, and they could transmit that healing energy to others and open up their hearts. And so empaths make incredible healers. There's a section in the book on empathic healers and empathic therapists and how to develop that ability as well as to protect yourself so you... You know, you're not like the old metaphysical healers who had to be 300 pounds in order to heal and have all that, you know, fat to guard you against the negative energy. You know, that's how the women did typically around the turn of the century. And it's just not necessary. But to have that amount of fat, there's a section, you know, in the book on empathic eating and how to protect yourself also. But empaths make incredible healers, you know, as your caller just testified to.
All right, let's go next to Ryan, first-time caller in Mission Viejo, California. Good morning, Ryan. Thanks for calling.
Hi, George. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're
welcome. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
So I literally just figured out who I was at 35 years old.
You just found out, huh?
You know, I've been listening to you off and on since I was probably 16, and I joined the military. I'm literally at a loss for words right now, man. Honestly, I married an empath. My children are. I've given a lot of myself, and it's incredible to hear this. And it's just, I literally have spent the last hour on the phone waiting, and I wouldn't hang up, and I've been reading and just looking and
just
trying
waiting
to figure all this out. And honestly, it's amazing to hear, and it's just interesting. And I'm going through, and every call I needed to hear every single call, and I have to take a bath or a shower, and I have to get the day off me, or I have
right.
to, me and my wife have to go camping at certain times in our lives, and we can't talk for certain hours, and you know, if we get into a fight or my kids, my daughter cries just incessantly, and energy. I see literally people when they walk. When I see people, you talked about light and dark. I catch glimpses of it, and mm-hmm. I mean, it's like middle of the night, and I can see a person from miles away, or I can't see them at all until I'm right up on them. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I totally know what you're talking about, and I hope you can enjoy all this. You know, these are great gifts that you're talking about, the gifts of empathy, and I hope you get some pleasure and enjoyment from them.
And when you say enjoyment out of this, how does that happen?
Because it's incredibly mind-blowing to be able to do all these things. And to me, there's a great connection to other humans and other forms of consciousness. It's like a playground of consciousness. So when an empath can summon these abilities, it's not only exciting and fun, it's a great gift. You know, I hope empaths can enjoy this. You know, we've been talking about some of the more difficult aspects, but I've got to tell you, you know, as an empath and as a physician, you know, exploring this realm has been an adventure. And, you know, I wrote the Empath Survival Guide to encourage other empaths to go on this adventure and not just have it be a form of suffering or a form of exhaustion, but be able to transform that and really give yourself permission to explore consciousness, to explore healing, as this caller is talking about. And, you know, what he talked about, the vision of seeing someone and them not being in his presence. You know, you can do all those things because it's just a mind-blowing ability to explore consciousness. And I hope the empaths out there can appreciate that and begin to get joy from their gifts.
Let's go to Denver, Colorado on the wild card line. Azrael is with us. Hello there.
How are you doing tonight, George?
Good. Thank you. Go ahead.
Well, unlike the rest of the callers tonight, I'm not dancing around singing your guest praises.
All right.
I happen to be a psychic vampire, George, and I don't think I've heard two sentences out of her mouth tonight that she wasn't disparaging or being disrespectful to the psychic vampire community. Yes, there are those of us in the community who are bad news, but there's quite a few of us who aren't. And she seems to be quite afraid of a community that she obviously knows absolutely nothing about.
All right, let's get a little take on that. There you go, a little chastising Dr. Orloff.
Yeah, I think he's absolutely right. You know,
all
I was
right.
Talking about the emotional vampires, you know, that are just the ordinary type. I don't have knowledge of a community that he's talking about, but I'm more than open to hear about it.
Would you like him to email you? How would you like people to get
sure.
a hold of you?
Yeah. Just send me a link, or if there's any kind of information, I would love to know about it.
They can get to you through your website?
Yeah, definitely.
drjudithorloff.com,
and I appreciate his call for illuminating me.
Well, he is right. I know a lot of psychic vampires who are nice people. Some of them don't even know what they are.
Yeah, but do they hurt others?
Not intentionally.
But still, if it's not intentionally and they're unconscious and they're not willing to look at it, then that could be dangerous to others.
Yeah, but I mean, that doesn't make them, if they don't willingly go out there to hurt somebody, I wouldn't consider them evil or bad, would you?
No, but, you know, if you're around, you know, I'm talking about the more benign types, which aren't really that benign, but let's say a chronic talker or a drama queen or a criticizer or blamer, if they keep it up and they're doing it with children, it can cause a lot of damage, you see. So you don't want to inflict emotional damage unknowingly. You want to be conscious and not do that. And so, you know, no, not bad or evil people by any means. But
and can't most people, Doctor, sense a psychic vampire in that if they're near them, around them, they feel tired, they may not know why, but they just know, oh my gosh, this person drains me.
Yeah, hopefully they do, but a lot of, you know, people I work with, you know, think, oh my God, there's something wrong with me. I'm getting the flu. You know, oh, you know, it's my problem that I'm being critical of the person. So they blame themselves, and they don't see the reality of the situation, that the other person is draining you.
They're not aware of what a psychic vampire, I bet, even is.
Yeah, exactly. They're not aware, so there needs to be some kind of general public awareness of that. And you could ask yourself that question, you know, do I feel drained around this person? Do my emotions change? Am I feeling physically ill? And to be able to consciously ask yourself that question, then you could say, aha, maybe, you know, I'm around a draining person. Maybe it's not me. And what I suggest in the book is that people get about 20 feet away from the source. And if it's really coming from that person, the feeling will dissipate.
All right, Judith, thank you again for being on the program. Working on any new books?
No, I'm just out in the world for the Empath Survival Guide now.
Okay, well, you've jumped into the world on this program on a big way, Dr. Judith Orloff. Up next, we're going to continue with the strange and unusual, but we're going to talk about death and life and heaven next.